Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland World. Thank you for coming back to my channel. This is about what's happening in Russia these days. Just 5 days ago, a court in Russia found guilty the judges, the International Criminal Court. So the chief prosecutor, as well as eight judges, because they indicted President Vladimir Putin and Maria Lvova-Belova, who is the Children's Rights Commissioner. They indicted them, as in they called them to trial, for kidnapping 20,000 Ukrainian children. So a court in Moscow proclaimed that this warrant was a nullity, and then it's found them guilty of prosecuting innocent persons, of illegally detaining people, and assaying violence against people who have international protection, and so on. And this is what the procurator said. The court found that the ICC prosecutor Karim Khan unlawfully initiated criminal proceedings against Russian citizens from February to March 2022 in The Hague. The ICC presidency, without any legal grounds, instructed the judges of the chamber to issue knowingly false arrest warrants for these individuals. That's the end of the quotation. And it didn't state the names, Maria Lvova-Belova, or Vladimirovich Putin, which presumably to whom it is alluding. Goodness. And this shows yet again that the Russian judicial system is the theater of the absurd. What could possibly be illegal about a legal process? And the ICC, in their published reasoning for issuing the arrest warrant, said, well, that the Russian government made these public declarations about taking all these Ukrainian children from Ukraine to Russia. There are many proven cases where the child's identity has been falsified, with false identity documents changing the name, the place of birth, the date of birth, and so on, to make it impossible for parents to trace the child. And the other one is, I don't know if they change, if they give them false birth certificates. If the child is young enough, he or she may forget who they really are. So it's terrible. And the ICC went with this, even though far graver crimes have been committed by Russian troops in Ukraine, such as mass murder, deliberately targeting Ukrainian civilians, you know, a theater which was marked children and so on, the Bucha massacre, or even these drones which are used against places like Kherson, and the videos published, and Russian soldiers joyfully publishing videos of them killing civilians, blatantly civilians, like elderly women, little children, and so on. But they went with this one because it's a direct line to Putin, because of that they said they did it. Because if someone else said you committed the crime and you say, yeah, I did it, then you did it. So the Russian government has been very, very open about this, is very proud about this, about kidnapping all these Ukrainian children. Some of them took from orphanages, some of them took off their parents, often under false pretenses, saying they're going to a summer camp, but then took them across the border, and obviously is against a number of international conventions to move civilian populations against their will across international borders. Of course, Russia pretends that international border doesn't exist and so forth. Russia, which very jealously guards its own international border, doesn't respect anybody else's, and so on. So it's only an arrest warrant was issued. I mean, Putin and Lvova-Belova can't be found guilty until they have a trial, but I'm not bating my breath for that one. So they're definitely not innocent persons, and Putin's about the guiltiest person in the world. I really mean that. Illegal detention. Putin and Lvova-Belova are not detained. Attempting violence. It's not violent to publish a document and so on, and that they have this international protection. Well, I mean, I'm not sure there's a head of state immunity for Putin, you could argue, not about that woman, who incidentally is married to an Orthodox priest. So she's very much of Putin's mindset. But, you know, there's none of the positive aspect of Christianity. Jesus, meek and mild, suffer the little children to come unto me, turn the other cheek, forgive 77 times to the power of seven, all that suffer. There's no mercy. There's no charity. There's no humility. There's no truth. All the admirable Christian values. No, he doesn't believe in those things. He believes in going through the motions. He likes, I suppose, the frippery of it. He likes maybe the control freakery or being judgmental or homophobic or something like that. So anyway, there's a Russian investigative committee, which is like, I suppose, detective, a bit like the criminal investigation committee in other countries, are investigating various judges. Yeah, some of whom have since retired. The guy who was president of the ICC, Pieter Jozef Hofmanski. I don't know, was he Polish, I think. Tomoko Akane, who's Japanese. The first vice president, Rosario Salvatoria Aitala. I don't know which her nationality was. Of the second vice president, Rene Alpini Gansu. Sergio Gerardo Ugalde Godinez, who is Argentine, if I got that right. Heikel Ben Mahfoud, Carranza Luz del Carbon Ibanez, and Bertram Schmidt. Okay, so they haven't had any trial at all, and they've been sentenced to 15 years in jail. 15 years for doing their job. Now, I've got to say, unfortunately, the United States has opened the door on this one. The ICC, for issuing arrest warrants against Netanyahu and indeed some Hamas figures, they are under sanctions from the United States. If I got this correct, they're not allowed to travel to the United States. They can't purchase anything in the United States. And the American individuals and possibly companies can't have any financial interactions with them, which is absolutely preposterous for the ICC doing its job. The International Criminal Court, which was set up partly at the suggestion of the United States, the Rome Statute, which established the ICC, was signed by President Clinton, but not ratified by the US Congress. And the United States has encouraged other international criminal tribunals, such as Nuremberg, Tokyo, in Rwanda, in the former Yugoslavia, in The Hague over the Lockerbie bombing, where some of its people were killed. But no, Americans are somehow to be uniquely immune from justice. And likewise, Russia often emphasizes Nuremberg. They even brought this up the other day because it's the sort of like the 80th anniversary of it beginning, how international justice must prevail, except, of course, when Russians are in the dock and that these principles are inapplicable to them. So it is preposterously hypocritical that judges who are carrying out their duties without fear, without favor, following the evidence, that they are somehow guilty of a crime. And this is an example I often give of just how preposterous the Russian injustice system is. And that is the case takes us Sergei Magnitsky, a lawyer who exposed a multi-million pound fraud, a tax fraud thing, where hundreds of millions of dollars were paid out with false receipts. And the biggest tax rebate ever in Russian history took place on Christmas Eve. Goodness, I can't remember which year it was, I think like 2005. And the claim for the tax rebate went in one day, and it was approved within 24 hours. This is a country where administration is notoriously slow. And Magnitsky exposed that. And then he was accused of perpetrating the very fraud that he had exposed, which is ludicrous because what had he done with the assets? He was living very modestly in a two-bedroom flat. And then he was murdered in prison, having been horrifically tortured and denied medical aid for his agonizing conditions. And then there's the Magnitsky Act that Senator John McCain, I've got to give a lot of credit to the late Senator McCain. Bill Browder, the British-American investor in Russia, they're behind this global Magnitsky Act, sanctions against these individuals who abuse human rights. And obviously Russia really hates it. But so Magnitsky was put on trial posthumously. And how can you try someone who can't answer and therefore can't be punished? And so the defendant in a Russian court sits in a cage just to dehumanize him or her. And then the cage was guarded by police officers. What in case his ghost was there, it was going to slip out through the bars or something. And Magnitsky was sentenced. That's how ludicrous it is, how blatantly unjust it is. It's staggering. But obviously a worrying move. But it proves that obviously Putin and Belova are worried about this because they know they're guilty. Why don't they simply disregard it? Why go to such action? Why draw even more attention to the crime they've committed? Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, the new PayPal, George Callan 790@gmail.com. Goodbye.